So I was playing a fairly new online word game the other day called Connections. Perhaps you're familiar with it. My pattern is usually Wordle, mini crossword puzzle, and then Connections. It's in the collection of the New York Times online word games. Now, Connections is a game that provides you with 16 different words. The goal is to find four sets of four words, with each set of four words having a more intimate connection than any of the others. You have the opportunity to make three mistakes and still solve the game for that day. However, if you make a fourth mistake, the game is over and you lose. There is only one true solution to the game. One set of words that I was able to get correctly included cucumber, eggplant, pepper, and tomato. Now, I initially thought that the first three were vegetables. But when I got to the word tomato, I remembered that a tomato is actually a fruit. In fact, there's a great quip about tomatoes that I enjoy. It's all about common sense and whether one has any common sense, that is, or not. The first test is whether you know that a tomato is a fruit. If you believe it to be a vegetable, you should go no further with the test. However, if you do know that a tomato is a fruit, the question is whether you have enough common sense not to put a tomato in a fruit salad. But now, back to Connections and the words. Cucumber, eggplant, pepper, and tomato. Now, I was correct in selecting these four words to have a particular connection, the connection being that all of them have seeds. And from a botanical point of view, fruits have seeds, vegetables do not. With that reasoning, a cucumber, eggplant, pepper, and tomato are all fruits. And I guess one could, in fact, then put a tomato in a fruit salad and still exhibit some common sense, although perhaps not necessarily any culinary expertise. You see, it could come down to a matter of perspective. Seeds can make all the difference in the world. That is perhaps why Jesus uses seeds in his parable this morning. Seeds carry an extraordinary amount of potential for growth, for beauty, and for fruit. And in most cases, all they need is soil, water, and sunlight in appropriate amounts. However, the appropriate amount of soil, water, and sunlight depends on what sort of seed it is and what sort of plant it will become, what kind of fruit it will bear. It should not be difficult to understand that the required soil, water, and sunlight will certainly differ depending on the particular needs of the particular plant. For instance, decades ago, my mother gave me a barrel cactus as a gift for my first apartment after graduating from college. Within 6 weeks, I was able to thoroughly and completely kill the plant. Yes, I am sure I watered it far too much. And since then, I have concluded that it would be better that I should volunteer as the director of a plant hospice rather than volunteer at the Morton Arboretum. It just goes to show that different plants have different needs, just as different people have different needs. And many of those needs depend on the situation in which one finds oneself. Now, despite our age or station in life, all of us have a certain level of potential. We are seeds in the kingdom of God, if you will. And during our lifetime, we will or perhaps have fallen on the path where we will or have been walked on and become downtrodden. Or perhaps we will or have found ourselves on rocky ground, perhaps unable to get a secure hold on the situation in which we currently find ourselves. Or perhaps we will or have been thrust into thorny situations where we cannot move without being stuck by the sharp barbs of others. Now, every once in a while, we might find ourselves in good soil where we can flourish and grow and bear fruit. Perhaps it would be simple to say that despite where we find ourselves during our lifetime, there will always be others more in need than we are. And that would certainly be true. That there are always others whose life situations are consistently thornier than anything we might face. And that would also be true. Also, there are those who are crushed under the boots of oppression to a level that we could never imagine. And of course, that would be true as well. And since for all of our lives, somebody has probably been telling us and probably been teaching us and probably been encouraging us to be kind to others. And I think in large part we do so. We try to shape our words and actions so as to be kind to other people. However, also in large part, we are kind to others, even to the detriment of our own health and well-being, even refraining from attending to our own mental, spiritual, or physical needs. So perhaps, just perhaps, there is another lesson for us to learn, a lesson that we can take to heart. Without losing our focus of outreach to and care of others whose seeds have been strewn along a challenging soil. The lesson I propose is this, that we must learn how to be kind to ourselves. Now, in The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse, a wonderful book by Charlie Mackesy, he says, being kind to yourself is one of the greatest kindnesses, says the mole. Nothing beats kindness, says the horse. It sits quietly beyond all things. And if we might wonder how best to be kind to ourselves, Mackesy also offers this. One of the kindest things you can do is be gentle and patient with yourself. So imagine, just imagine, when we're impatient with others, we certainly cannot be gentle with them. Rather, we tend to be rather brutal, much like what they might be if when they endure us. But if we are not gentle with others, we certainly cannot be patient with them, but rather tend to be frustrated and rough, much like what they might be when they experience this from others. So then, if we cannot be gentle and patient with others, we certainly cannot be gentle and patient with ourselves. And if we cannot be gentle and patient with ourselves, then we certainly cannot be gentle and patient with others. It's not complicated. It all begins with us and how we find ways to grow and flourish and bear fruit, regardless of the soil, regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves. But this can only occur if we are truly kind to ourselves. See, it starts with us. And thereby, and only thereby, can we be kind to others. This can only occur if we are truly gentle with ourselves and thereby be gentle with others. This can only occur if we're truly patient with ourselves and thereby we can be patient with others. Learning and practicing compassion is an important skill that many of us may learn as children. Those who raise us may teach us that compassion is a true superpower in this world. Our expression of compassion can help us who find ourselves in challenging soil. And we can help others. We can help others who find themselves in challenging soil. Perhaps in a drought condition with little or no water, or in the dark, hidden away from much needed sunlight. Self-compassion can do the same thing for each of us, but only if we allow it. If only we accept the fact that self-compassion does not mean that we are somehow weak. It does not mean that we somehow lack self-esteem. However, it may mean that we are afraid to take a long, hard look at ourselves, to look inside. So, when we finally do look inside, today, tomorrow, or the next day, remember that the person you see may be fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, always. Amen.